Everyone always says your money should work as hard as you do. But the thing is, with Eagle Bank's highly competitive deposit interest rates on money market accounts and CDs, your money doesn't even need to work that hard. From personal to business, Eagle Bank's flexible deposit terms help you hit financial goals in the short and long term. Stop by one of the DMV area locations or visit us online at eaglebankcorp.com to learn more. Member FDIC.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
What up, everybody? Another episode of Redskins Talk, the podcast. I am JP Finley. I told you he would join us later in the week, and sure enough, Rich Tandler is with me. Rich,
sure,
what's up, man?
Sure enough, here I am.
The millions of listeners we have were very worried that they weren't going to get their Tandler fix this week.
No, not to worry.
All right, good deal. You and I were having this conversation. We are in a very luxurious recording studio right now. We are in Rich Tandler's brand new, is this a Ford Edge?
Escape. Yes.
I like this car, man.
I do.
Still got the new car smell?
Absolutely.
It's good stuff. All right, we were having this conversation walking to the car. What is your letter grade for Kirk Cousins through five games this season?
It's a flat C.
Oof. Nobody would have liked you as like a grader in high school.
He's been an average quarterback. You look at you know, and you can't judge it completely on numbers, but that's certainly an important part of it. He's right around 14, 15, 16, 17 in just about every statistical category that there is. Passer rating, yards per attempt. Completion percentage is up there a little bit. He's actually creeped that up there some. But he's just been an average quarterback.
So I'm not arguing with you that he's been average. But what I would say specific to the grades is that you have to grade on a curve because the bulk of the NFL quarterbacks are below average. If you look at the bottom half of the league, 10 of those guys suck. There's a lot of bad quarterback play. So I would say average quarterback on a team that is over 500 in the playoff hunt. We're kind of splitting hairs here because I was on with our boy Greg Burton in Richmond, and he asked me for a letter grade, and I said a B minus. So maybe I'm just a little more generous than you, Rich.
Well, yeah, and you're closer to those days when you were in school and these things actually mattered to you. But
that's true.
I think he's been an average quarterback. And that's the reason for the scene.
Can we talk about something that perhaps I was proved right?
You're the podcast host. We can talk about whatever you want to.
I guess. But you usually tell me what to do. But okay. Last week, we argued a bit about Matt Jones. And you said you were encouraged by Matt Jones' performance. And I said, I actually don't know how well Matt Jones played. I was encouraged by the Sean McVay and the team committing to the run game. 1 week later, Are you coming more my way?
A little bit, but I'm not. I mean, there is this throw Matt Jones under the bus, throw him out campaign. Putting in Robert Kelly would solve all this team problems. I'm talking about what I see on Twitter.
That's not me.
What I see
that
out there.
Right.
That's what I'm seeing. I'm not going that far. I think Jones has potential. I think he's worth keeping on. I think he's the best running back on the team. He didn't run a whole lot against the Ravens. Didn't get a whole lot, didn't get a whole lot of carries.
I mean, he had
a couple
carries.
Fourth and one carries. Right, he had a couple
14
fourth and
carries.
Yeah, he had 2 yards of carry. But did he really, run, how many yards was he blocked for per carry?
There were a couple times he had chances and didn't get
there
much.
Were a couple, yes.
But
any running back in any game has.
And the Ravens front seven is really good.
Yes.
So I think trying to judge Matt Jones' season from the Ravens game is a little silly. But I think
especially considering what preceded it.
But the Browns game, now we're going back to our original argument then that I don't think he played that well against the Browns despite a good yardage total.
Okay, yeah. I heard he should have had 200 yards.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that.
22 carries.
But you watch that game, he had a good game, but there was a lot there that didn't necessarily get taken advantage of. And I'd argue, again, as much as I don't want to point to the Ravens game in a vacuum, I don't want to point to the Browns game in a vacuum either. You look at the whole body of work, and there are missed opportunities.
Yes.
And when you watch Robert Kelly, and it's an incredibly small sample size, but there are things he does better than I think Matt Jones. Now, I'm not saying he's the better back, but he seems to fall forward. He seems to have a better pad level getting low. That's what Fred Smoot said on the podcast earlier this week, that his pad level is better and that allows him to fall forward. And we see time and time again, Matt Jones struggles with that.
Yeah, that's true. And he still has work to do, but I think he's the one you need to work on. I don't have a problem giving Kelly, five, six, seven runs a game, but I still think Jones needs to be your primary back.
I agree. I think you get Kelly 6 carries a game, and Matt Jones is at like 18 carries a game. I think that is very functional for this offense. I think that would really work. And that still gets Chris Thompson 6 touches, maybe right. A couple runs, a couple passes. Defensively, the Skins, I don't know how it happened. They look good against the Ravens defensively. Some of that was an inept Ravens offense, I think, but to me, one of the biggest takeaways is they finally tackled well. And it's amazing what a difference that makes.
Yes. And the question is that something that they can keep up?
It should be. It's just tackling. It's not rockets. I mean, these dudes don't get to the pros not knowing how to tackle.
Right. They were averaging, before the Ravens game, they were averaging 10 missed tackles a game. They were not going to have 160 missed tackles
right
on the year. I mean, the odds were just gonna
right
gonna catch up with them. So, but we'll see. You know, is it the better, the different combination of personnel? They had Matt Ioannidis, who didn't make a whole lot of tackles, but he was in there at nose tackle a lot.
That now the bar is super low for Ioannidis, but that was certainly the best he's played.
Yeah, easily. Mason Foster tackled extremely well. He was certainly the defensive player of the week, I think.
Yeah, Preston Smith, who still is yet to have a big impact in rushing the quarterback, had a couple nice tackles on the edge that you're surprised to see from a guy his size.
Yeah,
I was encouraged by that. I still don't know why Preston isn't getting the pressure we all expected him to get. You and I have no time to do anything, right? All we do is hang out at Redskins Park and blog, right?
Pretty much.
If I ever have time, I want to write this. For all the outcry about Pot Roast, about Terrence Knighton, the signings they made this week, AJ Francis and Joseph Mabu, they fit the Scott McLuhan mold so much more. And I think they think, hey, we'd rather try and develop these young guys than get 15 good snaps a game out of Terrence Knight.
Yeah. Well, they didn't get that out of him last year. I mean,
if they wanted
Terrence Knight, he would have already been on the team.
Right.
I mean, it's that simple.
And obviously.
The run defense was bad without him. It hasn't been good this year. Excuse me, it was bad last year with him. Hasn't been that good without him. So I don't know why. There's this thought that they're...
It's because he has a cool nickname, man.
Yes.
And he's
Chris Baker's buddy, and Chris Baker starts the social media.
Yeah, true. Bake definitely keeps it going. Yeah. But if he wasn't Pot Roast, I think a lot of this wouldn't exist.
Fred Knighton, nobody would feel about.
Right. Well, it's not even that Terrence makes it Pot Roast. It's just that they call him Pot Roast. I personally have always liked the nickname Pork Chop for people.
Yes.
And I also really like when a guy's really big and they call him Tiny. I've always found that kind of funny and ironic.
I like T-Bone.
T-Bone's good. remember the Seinfeld?
That's exactly where it came from.
What'd they end up calling him? Coco the Monkey Boy?
Yeah, something like that.
That's a tough break for George. All right, what do you think about these Eagles? We had Dave Zangaro from CSM Philly on the podcast earlier this week to talk the Eagles. I think if I'm a Philly fan, I am so pissed at the NFL for that week four bye because they were cooking. Yep. And then just to get the week off, and then you come out flat in Detroit, and it's a new season for them now.
Yeah, you know, you would think they could structure those better and just have them all in a 4 or 5 week period in the middle of the season.
Yeah, but it's inventory, man. If you think about it, if you have six teams get a bye for 4 weeks, or I'm
but
not a math
guy. But you're still playing the you same got, you number
need a,
of games.
No, you need a Thursday night game. You need your Sunday slate. You need a Monday night game. You got to... That inventory gets low. And isn't the deal that every team gets at least one primetime game? If you
No, at least it's at least one Thursday night.
Is it a Thursday night
everybody
or primetime?
Everybody has a Thursday night.
You probably couldn't pull that off if you do big block buys. Now, I have no idea. I'm bad at math, and this is just my theory. You're good at math, and we'll probably actually work this out and tell me I'm wrong next week. But yeah, week four bye sucks, no matter who it is. Because, I mean... Obviously, you want it in the middle of the year. If you can't get it in the middle of the year, you'd want it in the second half of the year.
Yeah, I would later.
Later is better. Regardless,
okay.
Eagles coming to town. Give me your thoughts.
Well, actually, on RealRedskins.com this morning,
plug
had a post that I think it's going to come down to the Eagles' pass rush against the Redskins' offensive line pass blocking. Eagles are one of two teams in the league averaging 10% of the time the opposing passer drops back, they sack him.
Wow.
10.1, I think it is. One other team averages a little bit more, but they're one of two over 10%. Redskins, fourth in the league, leaves about 4%.
Wow, that's a big
Cousins
drop.
Has gone back. So you've got that gap. Now, who wins it? The other thing you got to watch for with the pass pressure is that Philly has recovered 4 fumbles this year. 3 of them have been sack strips of the quarterback. So you got to be real careful of that. So you got to protect the ball if they get close to you. So I think really that's the key. I just to put a rough number on it, fewer than 3 sacks, I think the Redskins have a really good shot. More than 3 sacks, I think Philly could go their way.
How many sacks have they given up? Like, what's the highest total of sacks the Skins have given up this year? I'm trying to think about
3.
It.
3. Okay. 3 to the Browns.
Okay, so...
They didn't give up... they gave up one last week. They had one... One was 0. Was that the opener, I think, where they had none?
So, but for this week, you're saying 3 is the magic number. 3 sacks right. And below, Skins are cool.
Skins are in good shape.
Above that, you're in trouble.
They're in trouble.
Tandler stat bomb right there, folks.
Go.
You gotta like that. What do you think about Carson Wentz?
I think...
Do you think he's more Brett Favre or Peyton Manning?
Oh, yeah. Both, man. He's that combination. That's what his coach said, anyway.
That's nuts.
But he, he is calm, cool, and collected. I was very impressed listening to him on the conference call yesterday, on Wednesday, that he had with media. Just a very, very talkative, very, very sharp guy. But I'll tell you what. This sticks in my mind. I worked out the numbers. Remember in New York, Chris Baker flattened Eli Manning.
He did.
On a sack.
Crushed
before him. That, Eli's passer rating was about 136, I think.
They were carving
after
out
that,
the
it was 63. I think that's what they need. I mean, I don't know if you can rattle them mentally.
And you got no Lane Johnson, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
That's big. That's big.
Yep, that's a good opportunity on that left side for Kerrigan and for Murphy. I'm sure they'll flip Preston Smith over there occasionally. But I think physically is the way to rattle him. I don't know if you're going to mentally rattle him with coverages and stuff like that.
Tend to have a lot of moving parts in the secondary. And then a guy like Josh Norman is going to be hawking the ball. It'll be interesting. I think the Skins defense showed more than just the Ravens have a bad offense in Baltimore.
Right. I mean, but look at the other two rookies they've faced. Neither one of them seemed to really get rattled. You got to get to them
Kessler.
Physically. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you've got to get this might be a different breed of quarterbacks coming out.
Yeah.
Who, even though they're playing in more, non-NFL style offenses, they're getting prepared. Mentally, getting prepared upstairs to play at a high level.
And, I mean, forgive me, Eagles fans, but Prescott played in the SEC. Cody Kessler's playing in the LA Coliseum. You're not going to be shy of many moments when that's your up, when that's your college experience. Carson Wentz played at North Dakota State. So, but that said, I think mentally razzing guys is kind of overrated anyway. Yeah. Once you're out on the field, you're out on the field. You're playing football.
Right.
I agree with you. They just got to hit them. I think the Skins might win four in a row, man.
You know, I think they've got a good shot. What's the line? Have you seen the line?
Why do you always ask me that?
I don't know. Why don't I ask you that? These things.
It actually looks kind of funny. It opened with the Skins as a small favorite and is now moved to the Skins are catching points at home. It was what I saw. I'd have to double check, but I believe that's right.
So Philly's favored by a couple?
I think it was 2.5. I'm sure if I'm wrong, people on Twitter will tell
me. So, yeah, I mean, that actually sounds about right. I still don't think the public is caught up to the Redskins perhaps being a pretty decent team.
And it's tough with the Skins because though they've won three in a row, they haven't looked impressive, really. I would argue the Giants game was their most impressive win just because that was a back-and-forth game. It was, you know, they showed on offense. They made plays on defense. The Browns game, it's tough to really gauge that Browns game because they won by double digits. If you just look at the box score, they did what you're supposed to do. They won by double digits at home against a bad team. But if you watch that game or if you were at that game like you and I were,
we're in it for a long time.
Right. And then the Ravens game is just like, I always joke about when I was a kid watching Big Ten football just sucked because it, you know, the final would be 7-6 and it was gray skies and all anybody would do was run the ball into a pile of people at the line of scrimmage. That was the Skins-Ravens game. It was kind of ugly football. I mean, Jameson Crowder made a play, Pierre Garçon, and Kirk threw a great ball on the Pierre touchdown. Yeah. But that game, I mean, that's not going to go to the NFL Films vault.
No, but it's the kind of game you have to win if you want to go to the playoffs.
Totally.
It is better to win an ugly game than to lose an ugly game.
Absolutely. So we will do this for TV Saturday night. So folks, if you are listening, you get a sneak peek at what I'm going to ask Tandler for TV Saturday night. Who needs to step up for the Skins this week to get the win?
I'll tell you what. I think you had him last week. I'll go with Preston Smith.
Dude, I've had him 2 weeks in a row.
Okay, well, now I'm taking him.
Hang on 1 second, folks. Rooksy.
Y'all know anybody lost any keys?
Nope, no, but sir. We're recording a podcast, so say hi to the folks.
Oh, hello. I put these keys in the grass.
All right. Thanks, dude. It's good. That is famed photographer Brooks Merriweather asking if anybody lost their keys. So now you guys are getting a real part of life at Redskins Park. All right, this isn't... So you said Preston Smith, sorry, before Brooks came in. I've said him 2 weeks in a row. I'm not saying him anymore because maybe I'm jinxing him or something.
Could be.
This is a awesome time of year for sports. NFL, college football, you've got... Caps hockey is starting up already, which seems crazy to me, but I'm excited to watch some Caps. Wiz basketball.
Were they in training camp for like 10 minutes?
They were in training camp way less than you and I were in Richmond. Yes. That much I know. Wiz hoops starts soon, and you got baseball playoffs. So what is the go-to sports watching appetizer at the Tandler house? And homemade, not like, oh, I go here and buy this. What do you make?
What do I make? I make some wings.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Grill, bake, fry?
Usually bake just because it's easier.
It is easier.
I usually don't drag out the grill for an appetizer kind of thing. So,
if I wanted to fry wings, does that require a deep fryer or could I fry them in
a
pan?
You could fry them in a pan, I think.
With butter or?
No, get some peanut oil or something like that.
I don't think my wife will let me do that.
Okay.
Just a hunch. I usually grill them. If you go to Costco and buy their like package of wings, it's like 40 wings for $15.
Right.
And that'll like a whole college football Saturday. You give me like an X amount of beers and the Costco size wings, I'm good for the day.
You're good. Okay.
Do you rake your leaves or do you pay for somebody to rake your leaves?
Oh, we're in a townhouse where lawn maintenance is paid for. So I haven't touched a rake in, what, we lived there for 4.5 years?
Any chance you want to come to my house and rake the leaves?
Let me think. No.
Damn. All right. Any last words of wisdom for the folks before we call it, man? It's Friday. Friday, players get out of here early. Me and Taylor are getting out of here early.
Yeah, you know, the Eagles receivers, you know, they were all kind of much. I think I got Matthews as a first round
pick. I do not want to hear Aguilar about Josh Norman has to cover Jordan Matthews.
Yes.
Exclusively.
No. He wasn't traveling with Steve Smith before Smith went out. I mean, that should be the
traveling conversation.
Exception rather than
AJ Green when they're in London, sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But I don't want to hear it about Jordan Matthews. Yeah, or Nelson Aguilar.
He should get on a plane with AJ Green to London. Right. They follow should him around. They should both go to Buckingham Palace together.
Right.
And then follow him to the stadium. So, So, but anyway, their receivers, I think, they're okay. Which really makes what Wentz has been able to do a little bit more impressive. Because he doesn't really have a great receiver to throw to.
As much as I knock the hype around Carson Wentz, the kid's been really good, and yeah, I'm excited to see him.
And it's like I said, that's no guarantee it'll keep up for the rest of the year or for 5 years or 10 years or however long, but certainly right now, if I'm an Eagles fan, I got to like what I see.
But his coach compared him to Brett Favre and Peyton Manning.
He's not Brett Favre and Peyton
Manning. All right, Taylor, thank you very much. Stay tuned on the podcast. We are going to have the one and only Mitch Tischler give Tish's take.
For those of you that missed me last week, I apologize about my short hiatus, but I'm back. And I want to talk to you guys about Rob Kelly. He kind of caught my eye in training camp, and I've been keeping tabs on him kind of ever since. JP and I have had a lot of discussions about his role in the offense. And as we heard Jay and Sean talk this week about how they want to get him a few more carries, I think this is a real opportunity for him to solidify himself in the offense. With the Eagles running that wide nine with the D-tackles and D-ends a little more on the outside of the offensive line, there's a lot of room up the middle. And while Matt Jones is a physically bigger body, Rob is a little shorter and more compact. And I think we've seen a couple times so far this year, when he gets his shoulders square, he can really move the pile. And I think that if he is able to capitalize on this opportunity moving forward, we could look at a backfield that has more of a 50-50 split, and I'm excited about seeing what Rob gets to do with a few more carries. Let's hope he proves me right. This has been Tish's Take.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.